9 years after I had lost 55%, I had multiplied my net worth by 5.6 times in 9 years and recouped all that money and multiplied it many times over. And here I was, you know, quitting my corporate job. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence that maybe I knew something that, you know, qualified to write about alternative investment.
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
Hello, and welcome back to the WFN podcast. This is episode number 62, dropping just a few days before Christmas, and the second to last episode being released here in 2022. Today's guest, we'll get into the investment later, Chris Odegaard. And this investment that he is talking about is only available for accredited investors. So I just want to have that out there. This may change in the future, but this is a 506c investment. If you follow me for some time on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, etc., you know how I joke 506C stands for see you later. And 506B stands for I'll be right back with my money. And also, if you need a refresher on the differences between the two, 506B, 506C, what an accredited investor is, and what the SEC has set up for these definitions, be sure to check out episode number 60 that popped out 2 weeks ago with Mauricio Raoul. We talked about this in pretty big length as far as the different types of syndications and accredited investors and whatnot. Now, Chris and I were introduced to each other with Yona Weiss's LinkedIn challenge in 2022. If you're curious to what that is, just reach out to me or Yona on LinkedIn. We can fill you in on that challenge if you want to participate. I participated twice. Let's just say you're in front of your keyboard a little bit, keeping up with LinkedIn messages and posts, but it's a really fun way to network, expand your network, and learn about other opportunities that you never knew existed. And in my instance, I actually reached out to a number of podcasts, guests that came onto my show and plan to have on my show in 2023. So Yona Weiss, if you're listening to this, thank you again for that challenge. It definitely helped expand my network. And if you're also learning or wanting to learn about cost segregation, just one of the many tax tips and tricks out there in the real estate world, be sure to check out Yona Weiss's first episode with us on the WFN podcast. This was episode number 12, released in January of 2022. And depending on when you're listening to this right now or months or years later, also be sure to check out an upcoming episode. Yona Weiss will be joining us back here for January of 2023. So as always, make sure you hit that subscribe, follow the bell on the YouTube dashboard, just so you never miss an episode or a video that's coming up. Now, Chris and I have a lot of similar interests, both very much into loving passive streams of income. We also both run a blog. I'll have his website and blog in the show notes. Actually, I should probably sheepishly admit I've been a little behind on my blog since February of this year with all the other projects I've been going on. But that's another thing that I'll be trying to get a handle on and get a little bit more diligent on in 2023. But the biggest thing Chris and I have in common is we both got tired of the corporate ladder. He'll kind of explain his background story as well, and just really wanted to kind of do our own thing, have more time freedom, and have more streams of income that weren't tied to a paycheck or tied to an employer, if you will. Chris has been featured on countless podcasts in addition to this one, and is a best-selling author of Get Off Your Ass and Manage Your Money. That's one of the many books that I read myself in 2022. Highly recommend all my listeners take a look at it. It's actually a pretty short read. It's not like reading War and Peace or anything like that. We'll have a link in the show notes for that. And if you are an avid reader like me, this title is also included for free with a Kindle Unlimited subscription, which I highly recommend if you're an avid reader like I am. So like I said, this investment is only for accredited investors. I myself can't even invest in at this time. And when I first heard about this, I thought, quite frankly, this was the dumbest investment I'd ever heard of. I actually figured, well, if you're doing this, why not invest in payphones while you're at it? For all the Gen Zs and millennials out there, payphones. Once upon a time, you actually had to find a booth, and there was this phone hanging inside, and you actually dropped a quarter in, or maybe a couple quarters, and picked up and dialed the number. This was before the little things called cell phones came out. Not to age myself, but yes, I had have used payphones in the past, but they are very, very, very few and far between. So yeah, I thought this was just the stupidest investment I ever heard of and didn't even give it a second glance, whether it was for accredited investors or not. But surprisingly, and even more so after COVID-19 that really shut down the economy in 2020, this asset class is extremely lucrative with very decent double-digit returns. And that's not even before you factor in the tax savings, which can actually decrease your taxable income to zero or even more, just the way the tax code treats it. So like Russell Gray of the Real Estate Guys always says, a mind is like a parachute. It only works when it is open. So with that, I decided to bring Chris on to talk more about this asset class and see if he can even change my mind and open my eyes to maybe looking at this investment. And if he can open up my mind and eyes to this investment, hopefully I can share that as well to my listeners and look at this, I think, a really underutilized asset class out there that I, from what I'm seeing, might actually grow in the coming years here in the United States. So with that, we'll get into today's interview after a word from this week's sponsors, ECI Development. Have you ever wanted to invest like the wealthy and how the 1% do, but think it's out of reach for you? Do you desire a more abundant lifestyle, but think you can't afford it? If so, check out ECI Development. With over 20 years of international real estate experience, Mike Cobb and his team can help you truly diversify your portfolio and lifestyle. How about benefiting from a generational investment that can 10x your wealth or more with a teak hardwood parcel in Panama or Nicaragua? Maybe it'll even lead to residency options in the future. Perhaps you'd be interested in a beachfront condo for under $250,000, enjoying the beautiful sunsets off the Pacific Ocean. Maybe an eco-friendly tiny home for around $100,000. ECI's team can even help you get financing for these investments. To learn more, check out the show notes or go to wealthandfreedomnexus.com/ECI. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, John, thanks for having me. Really looking forward to it. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I think we got connected on one of Yona Weiss's, was it CRE LinkedIn 10 challenges where you get buried with LinkedIn messages.
Yeah, somewhere. I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was on LinkedIn for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, Yona Weiss, the Lord of the LinkedIn. I had him on episode 12 of my podcast. So he's a great networker, so to speak.
Okay,
so
cool.
But Chris, this is obviously your first time on the podcast. And for anyone that maybe isn't, you know, familiar with you, your work, your website, book, etc., do you want to just give us kind of a brief background on how your investment journey and where you got to today?
Yeah, sure. Well, I usually say like a lot of your listeners, but I don't really know if that's true. But
all right,
let's put it this way: like many Americans, for most of my life, I was a conventional investor, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. I was on what I fondly refer to as the 401k highway to mediocrity.
Yeah,
and that was going about as well as it goes, you know, for anybody. And I have a lot of numbers behind why that's a terrible place to put money, but In my mid-40s, I experienced an illiquidity event where I lost 55% of my assets and thousands of dollars a month. In my case, it was a divorce, but it could have been bankruptcy or medical or whatever.
Yeah.
These things happen. Hopefully, they don't happen that bad. But that was a big thing to happen in my mid-40s. And
okay.
So then your options are, well, I'm going to work forever, work longer.
Yeah.
I got to get better returns on my money, or I just have this very diminished retirement lifestyle. Those are
right.
I think a lot of men just give up at some point like that, and they just kind of, you know, well, I'm just going to have this very impoverished, you know, kind of retirement after I've worked longer than I planned.
Yeah.
So anyway, coincidentally, around that time, a friend of mine said, "Hey, Chris, there's this book you got to read," and he mentioned it a couple times. I finally went and bought the book, and then I did what I did with most books: I set it somewhere and it just sat there and collected dust. Anyway, of course, it was Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, and
sure.
So, you know, I read that book, and my mind was opened. I never knew anything about real estate or anything other than the stock market, which I think I'm probably not alone in that. That's what most people are doing. But but I took action and I started going in that direction, you know, well, I was going to say pretty quickly. I don't know,
sure.
Whatever speed it was. And, you know, that involved single family rentals and some small multifamily, involved performing and non-performing notes. And then today it has become, I'm really just a passive investor in syndications of various sorts, whether that be multifamily, self-storage, and ATM machines.
Sure.
And what was, so about the time that I, what I refer to as fired the man, I don't like to use the retirement word because it, you know, if the definition of retirement is to be taken out of service,
exactly.
I feel like I'm still pretty much in service doing things that I like to do.
Yeah, like you're some sick horse that gets, I'll take him around the barn and put a bullet in its head. You know, we're going to take this horse out of service.
So. Exactly. So right before I quit my corporate job, I started a blog and a brand called The Prolific Investor.
Okay.
And the website is theprolificinvestor.net. And kind of, I've heard this term recently that I wasn't familiar with, imposter syndrome. And so I wanted to start writing these articles. And I thought, well, what credibility do I have? You know, what's my authority here? And why should people listen to me? And so, here I am, you know, 9 years after losing all this money, and now I'm a sophisticated investor. I have a bookkeeper. I have financial reports. I know exactly what my net worth and my cash flow. I was like, wow, too bad I wasn't this sophisticated back then. And then I could do a comparison between now and then, and maybe that number would give me some credibility or the growth or whatever.
Sure.
And then the light bulb went off, and I went, oh my gosh, when you get divorced, guess what the attorneys make you do? They make you do an accounting of everything. So I did have my net worth. And so 9 years after I had lost 55%, I had multiplied my net worth by 5.6 times in 9 years and recouped all that money and multiplied it many times over. And here I was, you know, quitting my corporate job. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence that maybe I knew something that, you know, qualified to write about alternative investments. And so that's the story, I think.
Perfect. So, and then I think you kind of highlighted this before. You're also recently, or depending on when my listeners are listening to this, it might be down in the future, but you, as of this recording recently, published a book. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was last November.
Oh, last November. Okay.
It was November in 2021. Yeah. And yeah, I published a book. It's called Get Off Your Ass and Manage Your Money, Why You Need Alternative Investments. That's the paperback copy right there.
All right.
And it's available in Kindle also. And that stuff's all on my website. We can talk about that later.
Sure. Yeah, I probably should have prefaced that. It's like I recently read the book as of this summer. So obviously not correlated with the publishing time. But again, anyone listening to this, I'll have links to the show notes if you want to check that out on Kindle, or if you prefer a hard copy through Amazon. Again, definitely highly recommend giving it a read. Now, you know, one step before we get into really of today's topic, you know, you mentioned you started your, you know, blog and your writing, but what is the, or what is a prolific investor per se, or how'd you come up with that for your blog and title?
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart
and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken, well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
You know, my girlfriend and I were taking a walk one day, and sometimes when you're just doing a different activity, sometimes it's when you wake up first thing in the morning, and I had been kind of, you know, rolling around in my mind what I was going to call this, and it just kind of came out. We were talking about it, and so, you know, prolific is usually a pretty good adjective. If somebody's a prolific singer or writer, sure, or artist or musician, they're kind of just, and so, yeah, I am. And I think that describes me because I am just very much involved in and enjoy, you know, searching out and finding the best ways to make the best returns, pay the least taxes with as little time of mine as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, I'm about the least amount of time, most amount of return.
Exactly. So yeah, we're some forms of investing, you know, I know some people are very successful in, you know, flipping houses, for instance. Yeah. And even right here in Marshall, I know of one that's very successful, but it's very, very active income, very much 50 hours a week. And like I've always said with my podcast, the nexus of wealth and freedom is passive income, and need is very passive, so to speak. Yeah. So,
well, and the truth is that the flipping of the house is a job, because as soon as he stops flipping, he's still trading his time for money.
Yeah.
Now, it may be a very well-paying trading of time for money, but I have this religious aversion after all these years of trading time for money anymore. So, you know, that's just something I'm not going to most likely ever do again.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, there's only 24 hours in a day, but there's no limit to how many, you know, passive income streams you can build into your bank account. So
that's true. Yeah.
This show is brought to you today by Lightbulb Podcasting. Are you a busy professional that needs to get more time back in their schedule? If you are a podcaster like me, you have enough on your plate. Why not outsource your podcast production? From editing, show notes, keywords, scheduling, volume balancing and editing, and creating audiograms, podcast production is another job in and of itself. That's why I use Lightbulb Podcasting. Get phenomenal support at an affordable price while you concentrate on growing your brand. Go to www.lightbulbpodcasting.com today to schedule an introductory call. Put your content in the spotlight. Now, as we go into you know, today's topic, and you know, like I mentioned in the intro, and I myself am still leery of this, and maybe this is just of my own personal, you know, beliefs and, you know, how I manage my money. But, you know, how exactly does ATM investing work? Maybe at a high level.
Yeah. Well, there's a I'm going to back it up. There's kind of two ways to do it. There's through a syndication model, and then there's kind of doing it yourself, you know, buying ATM machines, throw them in the back of your pickup truck, and driving them off wherever they are, servicing them, make sure they have money. But so let me back up one step. So there's three kind of players in the ATM space.
Okay.
So there's the real estate owner, the person that owns the piece of real estate where the ATM is going to sit.
Okay.
And you have to negotiate whatever the terms are for using that tiny little piece of real estate.
Okay.
And then there's the ATM owner. In this case, that would be me.
Okay.
And then there's the third party, which is probably multiple parties, the people that service, maintain, keep them full of cash and keep them working, that kind of thing. So, and all the revenue that pays all those three parties comes from the service charges that you pay. You know, there was a time when I could tell you what the average was. It's probably, you know, somewhere between $2.50 and $3.
Okay. Yeah.
Most of the country and more in other parts. But those service fees get doled out in various percentages to those three groups of people. And what's amazing is, and everybody makes money, and we make a lot of money. So, like I said about making the most amount of money and doing the least amount of work, I'm not the guy that buys the ATMs, my shelves, and puts them in my pickup truck and drives them up. I don't do that. So basically it's kind of a fun. I'll tell you how it works. It's a fund. I don't know whether syndication is the right term, but
okay.
Basically, I in the minimum, I'll use the example of mine. Now there are different models, but so for $104,000, I purchased 6 ATM machines.
Okay.
And I own those things by serial number.
Okay.
And if that was the end of it, then those things would be placed in 6 different locations, and depending on the amount of traffic or the use that they got at those 6 different locations, each machine would produce a different amount of cash flow per month.
Okay.
But what happens is there's a group. And so I buy my 6 machines with thousands of other people. And then there's this big giant group of ATM machines, and they're managed as a group. And what they figured out is they go, okay, so now they, instead of those 6 machines, there's a, 10,000 or 5,000, whatever the number is.
Okay.
And they've done the math, and they said, look, if these things, if we get these in the right locations, the cash flow produced across all these machines is going to fall into this band.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we can pick a number in that band, and we can pay Chris $2,155 a month for his $104,000 investment for 7 years.
Okay.
And now this is the thing to remember here is this is a depreciating asset. It's like a used car.
Sure.
So at the end of 7 years, it's old, tired, maybe technologically obsolete. We sell it for whatever it's worth. So if you spent all the money that you got over the 7 years, you would have zero at the end. You got nothing left, right? So that's something to keep in mind. So when you do the internal rate of return on that, just taking the cash flow per year for 7 years, that's a 23.98% internal rate of return.
Okay.
Now there's another thing. And so under the current or the tax laws, but I did this, and since bonus depreciation is still in effect, these things qualify for bonus depreciation.
Okay.
So when I make that $104,000, payment for those machines, I get a K-1 in that year that says $104,000 loss.
Okay.
Meaning the next $104,000 of like kind or passive income is tax free. So if you pick a 24% tax bracket, now your 23.98 internal rate of return went to 35.2.
Okay.
And I think what's interesting about that is that's an 11% increase. The conventional investors would love to get a consistent 11.22%.
Right.
And a lot of them probably have in the last, more recent times, but that's not really the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing, and so I'll stop there and let you ask me some questions, because
sure.
I think I know where you're going to go, but I'll let you do it.
No, and I appreciate that. So yeah, we've obviously, talked about the ATM space, and you mentioned about $2,100 a month and cash flow, and based off $100,000 investment. But then, as we've kind of learned, and as Tom Wheelwright has even said many times, is not all income is taxed the same. It could be earned income, like mm-hmm. our W-2 jobs, our old W-2. Mm-hmm. It could be passive income. It could be portfolio income. And then it could be income that there's nothing to offset that, kind of like your W-2 income. And then there's, investments in ATM where, yes, technically Chris does show $2,100 in income from the ATM, but there, and maybe you can share with the numbers, is there, $2,100 worth of depreciation that offsets that 100%, or is it just a, partial depreciation? Or
you get to use that. I mean, you get, it would be just like buying a piece of real estate and getting a $100,000 bonus depreciation. So that's available to be used up by the cash flow from this investment or other ones. It's just going to go into your bank of depreciation, assuming you're not using it up as fast as you're getting it. That's a great place to be when you've got so much passive income.
Yeah. And then I think, I'm not a tax accountant. I know you're not either, but I believe the bonus depreciation was part of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Mm-hmm. I believe 2023 is the first, drop off, or there's a step down of how much you can use.
Yep.
And I think it phases out, but phases to kind of normal depreciation, I think 2026 or 2027, yeah, I believe.
That sounds about right. I know that I'm pretty certain that this is the last year of the really good times.
Sure,
right?
So yeah.
If anybody wants to get in a syndication,
yeah,
this is the your time is running out here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They'll still be good, but it's better right now. So.
Exactly. So now, kind of taking a step back, I mean, you obviously talk to returns and, pick your number. And obviously everyone's, tax situation is different. And if you, I know, I do a lot of investment in my self-directed retirement accounts. So the, K-1s, the tax write-offs against my earned income, obviously isn't going to play into it. But let's just say, even on the low end of 23.98%, 24%, I think it's a decent return. But, with everything going on, I personally, if I use the ATM, I use with my U.S. bank, which I don't have to pay a fee then because it's a network. Mm-hmm. Aren't we going more into a cashless society? Isn't ATMs kind of going by the way of the pay phones? Is there a benefit into this?
No, it's a valid question. And the problem is that you and I are not the main users of ATM machines. I mean, I always have a little bit of cash in my wallet, but I
sure.
pay most everything else on a card.
Yeah.
So, I always like to have a nice crisp $100 bill in my pocket. And every once in a while I break it, and three or four times a year I might have to go and get another one out of the cash machine. And my credit union reimburses me for the fees that are charged by wherever I get the ATM, wherever we get the cash from.
Okay.
But there's a whole segment of society on the lower, in the lower income brackets that live mm-hmm. on cash and ATM cards and debit cards and, that get their government subsidies through, on a card that can be used in an ATM machine. So,
interesting.
So the organizer that puts together these deals, they're always looking at data on this. And here's what they continue to say is that even though all these cashless payment things like Zelle and PayPal and Venmo, the increase of those is going up, the increase in cash is also going up at the same time.
Interesting.
Which
okay.
is hard for guys like you and me to get because we're not part of the people that are using these things all the time.
Yeah.
And ATM machines are also becoming more than just cash dispensing things where people can, I can't tell you that I understand this, but there is a segment of society that can't get bank accounts.
Yep.
And, mm-hmm. and so those people, they're paying their bills and doing all kinds of things. And unfortunately, I mean, if you just look at what's going on in the country with the, the haves and the have not, that segment of society is probably growing, right?
Yep.
As the rich get richer and some of the middle class is kind of sliding backward a little bit. And like I said, it's something I can't tell you that I completely understand or have experienced it. But yeah, you and I aren't the big users of ATM machine.
Right. Well, it was kind of interesting. You mentioned, obviously the ATMs have kind of morphed into, offering other services. I personally, I know several ATMs I've come across that, obviously, you go there, you can deposit a check or, get some cash out, but you can also get stamps, just one of many things I've seen. And now we're starting to see Bitcoin ATMs, which mm-hmm. I used the first time back on a road trip. It was actually at a gas station. I kind of did a double take and it was like I can't remember what it was, like open a new account, buy $20 worth of Bitcoin, get $5 free or something like that. It's like, what the hell? And sure enough, it works. So, that might be the next thing. It's like, do you want proceeds?
It's better than going to Las Vegas and putting $20 in the slot machine.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Go to zero very, very quickly. So now you obviously mentioned the, I myself use, Zelle and PayPal and, kind of the digital transactions. I personally rarely carry much, if any, cash. I believe it's like, all right, if I lose my credit card, I call it the bank, I'm not liable. If I lose mm-hmm. my checkbook, same thing. If I lose a $100 bill, well, I'm kind of SOL at that point. But kind of to the society that does this, the unbankable or just doesn't have a bank account. Is there, growth in this industry that's been seen, the last couple of years, especially with COVID, or what's the trend looking like for that?
Yeah, the usage of cash has been growing.
Okay.
So just along with, I can't really, you know, bifurcate it any more than that. But yeah, it is increasing.
Okay.
Along with all these other, you know, cashless types of things. So,
all right.
And,
so,
and I know the guy that does all this stuff, and you know, you could say, well, he's just saying that because it's good for his business.
Yeah.
You know? But he also has a lot of personal money invested here as well. So,
oh, okay.
And he's about as honest and ethical as they come. So, you know, I think if the situation was changing, we would hear about it.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
But there is still, you know, beyond whether or not, you know, people are still using cash, there's a technological kind of obsolescence, you know, to these machines.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've read a book that said technology is doubling every 18 months. And
yep.
So, you know, can these, you know, I don't know how upgradable these things are during that 7 years. I just know that I haven't been through, I'm in like probably three or four tranches of these things that were,
okay.
that were all done pretty close together. So I haven't hit my 7 year yet on any of them, but they've, you know, so far, and I can't think of a better stress test than the pandemic, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Just kind of worked like it was supposed to.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned even kind of like the unbankable portion of society, or, you know, lower class, working class, middle class, whichever, you know, term you want to use. Actually, since you just mentioned that, I kind of remember back from my days when I worked in retail, a local grocery Hy-Vee, and at the customer service. So it was like, you know, every other Friday or every Friday, just lines of people. It's like, here's my check. They didn't have direct deposit. And, you know, they would be a, you know, check cashing fee of, I can't remember, $5-$10.
Right.
And then they get their cash. And it's like, why in the world don't you just have this deposit in a bank account for no fees? And like you said, sometimes their circumstances are different.
Yeah.
They're kind of unbankable. And, you know, some are immigrants actually, where, yes, we may have right, wrong, or indifferent, a little bit more faith and trust in our banking system. But you know, people coming from, I'll just say, Africa, for instance, where they're not exactly the most trustworthy of central banks, shall we say. Could definitely play a part into this as well. So,
well, you know, you also along those same lines, and this is just anecdotal, you see all these check cashing places, and you see I recently moved, 15 months ago, moved from Seattle to South Carolina.
Okay.
And what I see down here is all these places where you can get loans on your car title.
Yep. Yeah. They have that across the board in South Dakota here.
Yeah. So, you know, so all these things are kind of serving that same group of people, you know, whether it's the ATMs or, you know, basically getting a car equity line of credit or a car equity loan. You know, I equity and cars don't even go in the same, don't even belong in the same sentence in my
exactly.
mind.
Exactly.
You know?
So, but who knows, maybe someone's got out there has got a, I don't know, a Ferrari paid off for, they can go to the title loan place, get $100,000 out, invest in this, and now their ATMs pay for their car payment. This has actually been interesting. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of this, you know, this is kind of geared more towards, you know, accredited or sophisticated investors. Typically, I kind of like to, shall we say, concentrate on investment opportunities that anyone can participate in. But this was just such an interesting space niche, so to speak, that I myself wanted to learn more about. Is there anything, Chris, that I maybe should have asked you about ATM investing, or should have mentioned that I didn't think about? Or
there is another source of revenue, and that's you know, or and well, there's two things that come to mind. You know, most people think that when they see an ATM machine, oh, that's owned by a bank.
Okay.
Most of them are not. Now, if there's an ATM machine in your bank lobby, your bank probably owns that. And even sometimes the ATMs that have, you know, a U.S. Bank wrapper on the outside, the U.S. Bank paid for that advertising. So it's a billboard as well in terms of the exterior. But a lot of times, sometimes there's digital displays and things on the screen. So there is a little bit of, and this is with some of the newer stuff, you know, there is a possibility of other income other than just the transaction fees.
Okay, interesting.
And something else, think about this too, is that, you know, if something I mean, compared to like a physical building or something, you know, the fees that come off an ATM is all about how many people are walking by that place. And if something happens at that location, guess what you do? You pick up the ATM machine and you move it someplace else.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd be weird. You think you're kind of constantly could be constantly managing these things and going, look, because they, you know, they've got a payment, you know, kind of a coupon payment that they're supposed to pay out. And they're constantly looking at this and you know what, we're kind of getting toward the bottom of that little, you know, that little band where this all works. We better get these ones over here and move them over there. I mean, I don't know any of the specifics, but obviously, you know, I mean, if a building burns down, you know, right where your ATM was and, you know, the streets are shut down and there's construction, you got to pick that thing up and put it someplace else.
Yeah. And, or maybe even if it's still like, you know, profitable on the transaction side, but the better side of town is starting to become the wrong side of town. There's more thefts or break-ins or stealing. Yeah. Then okay, pick up the machine and take it to, you know, the other side of the track, so to speak.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
All right, interesting. Well, this has actually been really been interesting, Chris. And thank you again for coming on. If any of my listeners are interested in learning more about you, what projects you're working on, or maybe even wants to, you know, have a further discussion about ATM investing, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah. So if you ever, the one-stop shop is the website, the prolificinvestor.net. Our articles are there, videos, resources. There's a link to the book and there's a coffee cup in the middle of the homepage that says have a free virtual coffee with Chris and you can schedule 30 minutes with me on a Thursday of your choosing.
Okay.
So yeah, I love to talk about this stuff. And just a full disclosure, I'm not a syndicator. I don't raise money for anything.
Sure.
So there's no catch. I don't have a class to sell or consulting or anything. It's just I love people. I like to help people get wherever they're going faster financially. So
exactly. No, and I appreciate that. And that was the main reason why I kind of wanted to bring you on as well, where, okay, it's not a syndicator. It's someone that's actually knows about it and has invested in it. And obviously, I think that kind of means more to my listeners versus, hey, I got this guy that wanted to pay $500 to be on my podcast to promote his syndication or whatever. So sounds good. All right. Well, thanks again, Chris. I appreciate your time today. And for those listening as well, I'll have all these show notes, the website, the book link and everything in the show notes as clickable links. So with that, Chris, thanks again and hope you have a great rest of the week.
Great. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.